with you today. If you'd turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, verse number 21, Genesis 2:21. Sure is good to see you at the house of God this morning. You know, the songs that we get to participate and enjoy here don't compare to the singing that's going on in the city. I've often wondered what us preachers would do in the city. I think about the first 1,000,000,000 years, we're just going to praise Him. Thank Him for how good that He's been to us. Then I hope He gives me another 1,000,000,000 years to meet a lot of these Bible saints. I want to talk with Paul. Peter, a man that walked on the water to go to Jesus. He began to sink and he done something. I heard a preacher preach one time on when a saved man needs saving. He cried and said, "Lord, save me." And I like this Bible term. The Lord reached and caught him. And He said, "Oh, thou of little faith." If little faith will let you walk on water, where would big faith take you to this morning? The book of Genesis, chapter number 2, the Bible said, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep," verse 21, "to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.' They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, chapter 3, verse 1 that I like to preach out of today. "Now," capital. The serpent was more. It means wise, cunning, crafty. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together today. Thank you for the good spirit in the house of God. I pray now you'd let preaching be easy a few minutes. Pray you'd use me to be a blessing to the people of God. Lord, I ask that the Spirit of God would lead and guide me in these last days of preaching, that of how to magnify the precious Son of God. We love you. Thank you for Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. You'll notice as God initiated the first home in the Bible, He created Adam. And out of his side he brought the woman Eve. We all know that the Bible teaches us that the man is the headship of the home or the leader of the home. However, the woman came from Adam's side. She's never been intended to be under his feet, never to be trampled upon as a doormat. She is to be in union with her husband. God would lead that family unit through this old world, a lot like us as strangers and pilgrims on a journey. For Abraham looked for a city where the builder and maker was God. And so God has been so faithful in the journeys of life as a man and woman to come together in a family unit, produce children and families. You'll notice upon this time of the implementation of the family, there was a Bible character that raises his head up in chapter 3. That Bible character has continued and he will continue on all through the pages of the Bible until the end. But thank God, my Bible says one day that he will be cast into the lake of fire. This morning, out of chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible said, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And I want to preach on this simple subject today to our families. If I was the devil, what would I do? If I was the devil, and some of you may think I'm a devil, but I'm not. Sometimes I act like the devil sometimes. Some of you rednecks shake your head and say amen. We all got tendencies, for we battle the flesh, the world, and the devil. But if I were the devil and I was the most subtle creature in the field, how would I bring an attack against you in your home? First of all, I want to say that I would get you to discredit the pages of God. I'd get you to doubt this Bible. I'd get you to think that, I'd get you to listening to all the news briefs of the antiquity of this Bible, that it is out of date. But friend, let me tell you, what God has put in the pages of this old book, it is forever settled in heaven. I'm not looking for a new kind of Bible. I'm trying to live out and preach the one that God left me to live by. If I were the devil, I'd try to get you to discredit the pages of God. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to notice the authenticity of the Bible. The authenticity of the Bible. It's very authentic. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 20. The Bible simply says that knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, you can know all about this Bible that you want to know, but you've got to study it to show yourself approved. You ought to not know, well, that's what my preacher says. You ought to know what your Bible says. That's why America's in the shape she's in today. They've heard what a preacher said, but they ain't seen what God has to say. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God. Spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The authenticity of our Bible, it is inspired. You'll notice they spake as they were moved. They just didn't sit down and say, we're going to write a Bible. The Holy Spirit of God moved these men to write our Bible. The authenticity of our Bible, but the authority of our Bible. 2 Peter 1 and 21, you'll notice this. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God moved them to write it. Let me tell you, our Bible is still right in this day and this hour. The authenticity of our Bible, but the authority of our Bible. God wrote it. That's the end of the story. Somebody said this. Well, that's the Bible. And I believe it, and that makes it so. Let me tell you what makes it so. God wrote the Bible. It don't matter whether you believe it or not, the Bible's still right. And so, if I was the devil, I would get you to discredit the pages of God. It really don't mean what it says. And then, that's the authenticity of our Bible and the authority of our Bible. But thirdly, there's the accuracy of our Bible. In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures on their own destruction. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." If I were the devil and I was so subtle, I would get you to discredit the pages of our Bible. Secondly, not only would I get you to discredit the pages of God, I'd get you to disconnect at the place of God. I would keep you from getting to the church. I wouldn't mind if you went to a little shaky, breaky place. I wouldn't mind if I was the devil that you went to hear a little puppet preach. But if you went to a place where an old-fashioned choir sung and the open and a man red-faced running, hacking and a spitting out of a King James Bible, that tears up if you was in that environment on Sunday morning. The reason it tears up your environment, some of you are not accustomed to it. And what so sadly, the Spirit of God don't live in you and you don't like church. But let me tell you something. The day I got saved, me and Brother Mike talked about it Wednesday night. When God moved in, Brother Randy was teaching Wednesday night on Elijah. This mind, his spirit, and his body. I noticed the day God saved me, something started changing in my life. Can I tell you, people, when you get saved by the grace of God, there'll be changes taking place in your life. And I've always loved Bible preaching. If preaching gets on your nerves, it's not the Bible, it's you. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. So I would get you to disconnect from the place of God. What is the church? First of all, Hebrews 10, it is a gathering place. Hebrews 10. I'm so thankful God's got churches scattered all across this country that's still preaching the Word of God. And I got news for this old world. Long as God tarries, it's coming. There'll always be some men that'll be preaching the Word of God. It may be in a house, may be in a basement, but there'll still be the preaching of the Word of God. Hebrews 10:25. If I was the devil, I would get you to disconnect at the place of God, because it's a gathering place. Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another," that's encouraging one another. I'm glad you're at church this morning. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." I'd get you to disconnect to the place of God. It is a gathering place. Matthew 16:18, it is a governed place. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God runs the church. I'm thankful there's not a group in a committee here that goes and they survey my outlines and they call me to a room aside and say, "Now, preacher, you ought not discuss them issues. You should lay back on some of them things." I'm glad we can go to church this morning where God runs the church. If He says sing three songs, let's sing three songs. If He says hug necks all morning, let's hug necks all morning. Let's just have church and let God govern the church. You see, if I was the devil, I'd get you to disconnect from the place of God. It is a gathering place. It is a governed place. And thirdly, it is a guiding place. You say a guiding place. Yes, it guides your children. Done my heart so good, Miss Stephanie. That grandbaby last night FaceTimed me and she was telling me about what she had learned at church. It is a guiding place. I'm thankful for your children that come in and out of these facilities and they know that they have a God that is real, a Bible that is reliable, and a people that will love them and welcome them and help them. It was so good to see little Morgan this morning standing out as the men come out of the prayer room. You see, it is a guiding place. I want to say it is a good place. The church ought to be the most beautiful place in town. It ought to be the greatest place in our lives that we gather every week and come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. If I were the devil, in my subtlety, I would get you to discredit the pages of God. I'd get you to disconnect at the place of God. And thirdly, I would get you to disband from the people of God. I wouldn't want you in fellowship. You say, "Well, preacher, why is fellowship so important?" Because we need each other. The Bible teaches us in three areas real briefly. First of all, we're here together to edify one another. Look in Romans 15, Romans 14, 19, Romans 14, 19. Let's look at this Bible truth this morning. Romans chapter number 14 and 19. We're here to edify one another. Romans 14 and 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another." What does the word edify mean? It simply means to instruct or improve. I'm a better person because of the church. The church does great things in my life. And I need to be at the church where the Lord is and enjoy the fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ that we may edify one another. That means to instruct or improve. And then secondly, Romans 15, 14, we are to admonish one another. Romans 15 and 14. Paul said, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to," here it is, "admonish one another." Edify means to instruct or to encourage or to improve. But here admonish means to express warning, to be a help. We don't need any FBI agents running around getting in everybody's business. But we need brothers and sisters in Christ to help us, to encourage us, and to warn us. "Brother Ken, I've noticed you're drifting." And the problem with this is people get upset when you try to just give them Bible warning and encourage. We're nobody's judge. But we are to admonish one another. I've noticed you're hanging out in places. Be careful. I've noticed that you have disconnected from your family. Be careful with that. I've noticed you're missing church. Be careful. Because if you miss this Sunday, it's twice as easy to miss next Sunday. Oh, we are to admonish one another and help one another. I want to say something about the independent Baptist churches right quick. We are independent by choice. That means we're not governed by an association. Men don't write our policies and procedures. We try to follow the Lord by the Bible. The Southern Baptist Convention is having one of the greatest attacks on their association up top. They've elected a liberal president, and now he's bending his ear to the LGBTQ community. Those winds of compromise are blowing through our churches. But let me tell you something this morning. You can be in an independent Bible-believing church and still be good to people. Be good to people. Believe the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. We all got it. Has anybody here don't have issues? We all got issues and we need each other. And we need the Bible and the Spirit of God moving in our lives to make us a better people, a people holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Some of you say you're going to heaven. I don't know what in the world you're going to do when you get there, because a little church tears your nerves up. There's not going to be a quiet side and a loud side. It ain't going to be a smoking side, no smoking side. Somebody say amen. You see, I would get you to disband from the people of God. My wife came home. I've never seen her in a better mood. Y'all gonna laugh a little bit. You married 40 years. I mean, you know what the oven's thinking. She come in, chipper, set her pocketbook down, sat in a chair, the smile on her face. I said, "Man, what's up?" She said, "We had the best time." Ladies, you need that in your life. Men, we need that in our life. We need one another to encourage one another, not to judge each other. I want to give you this powerful verse. If I was the devil, I would get you to disband from the people of God. Look in James 5, verse 16. We'll give you a very powerful verse. I'm about done preaching. James 5, verse 16. James 5, 16. This is a very impactful verse. This verse holds a lot of trust, a lot of truth. James 5, 16, talking about with the people of God at the church, confess your faults to one another. Now, that don't mean I'm to get up here and broadcast my faults. But I can go to some of my brothers in Christ, say, "Brother Mike, Brother Adam, Brother David, Brother Lee, Brother Randall, I've got this issue with me. And I want you to pray for me about it. Confess your faults one another and pray one for another, look, that you may be healed." You see, when our brother comes and talks to us in confidence, we don't put it on the big screen. We don't even tell our wife about it. We pray one for another and realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be battling that. These families that are sitting here this morning, the battles you face, I face them. And we need one another. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Find you somebody that can pray. It'll help your life. And I'm thankful that I can get together with the people of God. Some of the greatest people in America is in this facility this morning. My heart is so encouraged to see new people, young people, older people. This Bible is all we need in this life. If I were the devil, I would get you to discredit the pages of this Bible. It don't say what it used to say. And it don't mean what it used to mean. But it does. It's still the same writing. I'd get you to discredit the pages of God. I'd get you to disconnect at the place of God. I'd be sure somebody said something to you to get you to leave. Let me ask you something. If somebody hollers boo at you, do you quit your job? Somebody gets your parking place down at Walmart, you still go get your groceries at Walmart? Shake your little baby's head up and down this morning. I'm going to work on getting y'all loud in this church. Bible said, say amen. It seemed all right for you ladies to say amen. You say it a lot at home, say it at church. Amen. Edify one another, admonish one another, and pray one for another. Then I would get you to not only disband from the people of God, I'd get you to disarm from the power of God. I'd get you to quit walking with Him. I would be so subtle about you and your house that you could look back in your life to how close you was to God. And now one day you look and you far away. Let me tell you how the devil does. The devil don't walk up on a redneck's porch and kick his door in and say, you ain't going to church no more. Let me tell you what he does. He puts distractions in your life. So many little things that get you to move away from where you was with the power of God. And before long, you're looking around standing there all by yourself. Distractions. Be careful. He's so subtle. He's so... You know those saying, if you take a frog, you get you a pan of boiling water and you put him on your oven in that pan of boiling water, he jumps out. But if you know you can take and put him in that same stir of water and turn the heat up and you'll boil him. That's the way the devil does me and you. He's subtle. Just a little at a time. He knows we're not going to take crashing the door down. But he loves to crack it open. Crack it open. Crack it open. Raise a window up. And before long, you're saying, how in the world did I get here? Mom and daddies, he'll let you get to social drinking. Before long, it becomes every evening you get home, get your shoes off in a recliner, pour you a drink, you get you relaxed, and it becomes a lifestyle. Before long, you're an alcoholic. Same way with drugs. Socializing, dope smoking, it's okay with the guys, go burn one. But before long, it'll be burning you. You say, why are you saying that? Because you're looking at a preacher who's been there, done that, and has wore a very bad t-shirt. I bought that t-shirt and I paid a big price for it. But by the grace of God, the power that lives in me, I've been able to overcome the addictions of life by the God that lives in me. If I was the devil, I'd get you to discredit the pages of God. Could I ask y'all something? One of the most powerful churches in this country sitting here this morning. How many of you have read out of that this week? What's your page time compared to your screen time? I get you to discredit the pages of God. Miss Kathy, I want you to come sing me a song if you could this morning. Be working your way to the piano.